Once you found Ephesians 5, we're going to start in verse 1. Could you please stand for reading of God's Word? Starting in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, then we'll be over to verse 8. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and as a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk in as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Word 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians. We're starting a new series on the Holy Spirit. The songs, that song, Breathe On Me, Breath of God, 164. My, that has some great words in it. My, that has some great words. And our text here that we're reading, our text is Ephesians 5. We're mainly coming from verse 18 and moving through a couple verses there. But I'm giving you some introduction this morning. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Rick read it. Let's read it again. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Are you realize you're His kids? Huh? He loves His kids. Don't mess with my kids. You know. And then verse 2. Look at it. Ephesians 5, verse 2. And walk in love. Live selflessly as Christ also hath loved us. You are loved, so love. And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet aroma smelling savior. Do you think God loves to smell good things? If God made this world with all the flowers and all the aromas, don't you love it? After a fresh cut grass day, or it rains and you go out and you go, oh wow, that smells good. God likes all that too. It's written in the Bible here. Sweet smelling savior to God. In the Old Testament, did they have incense going all the time to God? That's for Him. And verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. You were lost, sinners, hellbound. But now, I love that, are ye light, darkness, light, salvation, truth, light, heaven, in the Lord. Walk, live as children of light, knowing where you're going, not stumbling around. Then parenthesis, catch verse 9. For, here's the definition of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, just a little three line here of the fruit of the Spirit, not like in Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto God. Verse 15. See then that ye walk. We got walk in all of these. Live circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Is that true today? Buy every moment. Take up all the opportunities. Give yourself to every opportunity to do right. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, preacher, I just don't know the will of the Lord. You keep reading the Bible, the will of the Lord will reveal itself. And that's very, very important. And verse 18 is where we're at. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And here it describes being filled with the Spirit. Speaking or singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord, giving thanks, being thankful, singing, thankful, always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All about Him. And then the third thing here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's being Spirit-filled. This morning, we are talking about being Spirit-filled. But the first step to being Spirit-filled is given here in our text here in verse 18. And it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. We're going to talk about it in a minute. But be filled with the Spirit. And the be filled is in a continuous mode there. And it's keep on being filled. Keep on being filled. We have an empty glass here, and we have a glass that has some in it. I get to drink this, and it is simply lemonade. That's good stuff. That's worth being a diabetic for. It's an ongoing thing, and we got to be filled with the Spirit. Next week I'm going to get into that. Next week I'm going to do this. I'm preaching this morning, and this morning I'm talking about all the things that we are to put off. We're to put off. We're to lay aside. We're not to do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Stop doing this. Walk away from that. Don't live this week this way. Put this off. We're going to go through all of those in the book of Ephesians. Next week, I know it's Memorial Day, we're going to honor the ones that have given their lives for our country. Amen. We're going to honor the ones that have passed. I hope you don't forget. Today is my mom's birthday. And the ones that have passed, we don't forget. Don't forget. But I'm going to zero in after we do that. I'm going to zero in on where we've gotten victory. I used to do this sin. I used to have a filthy mouth. And I haven't cussed for 2 years. Huh? Next Sunday I'm going to give you little pieces of paper, and I'd like you to write on those, and we're going to gather them someplace and maybe burn them. I don't know. You bring them. It's over. It's dead. That sin doesn't tempt me anymore. I've gotten victory over that. You need to rejoice and say, that used to be the way I live, but I don't live that way anymore. I don't think we celebrate victory enough, because if you will remember past victories, it will throw you into more present victories and future victories. If God can win over that habit, He can help me over the one I'm working on now. That's next Sunday. This morning, I'm just going to introduce the subject of all of this. Be not drunk with wine. Be not. Be not. Wherein it is excess. The word excess. In other translations, what's the word used there? Be not drunk with wine wherein it is what? What's it called? Debauchery. Do you know what debauchery means? No, I didn't either. I had to look it up. Debauchery means wicked, corrupt. Okay? It doesn't mean don't be excessive in your wine drinking. Sometimes you read it in the King James, that's what you'll think. Wherein is excess. So just too much. No, it means if you get drunk, it's debauchery, it's wickedness, it's corruptness. And it is something that you are just, it's debauchery. Some translations have dissipation. Have that? That's the same as debauchery, reckless actions, ruin. If you get drunk with wine, you ruin your life. Is that pretty plain? And it happens, and it's a mess. Some translations use the word wild living, and we don't need that. And it is amazing. This morning, I want to just zero in on the issue of be not drunk. I want you to know, he says, now don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Spirit. Okay, just as drunkenness with wine obsesses a person and possesses a person and is something that controls a person and something that is energizes and it just captivates them and engrosses them and empowers them, absorbs them and is driven, it overcomes them, dominates them. So what drinking does is dominate you. We're going to read the text at the end of the message of a drunken description in Proverbs. It says, folks, it says, don't let that dominate you. Let the Holy Spirit dominate you. That's the issue. The issue, he's not pounding on drunkenness here, but drunkenness is a big issue, and drinking is a heavy issue. And it's something that is ruining many homes today. And it bites. Is that right? It sneaks up on you. Oh, I can have one or two. Oh, be careful. Be careful your children. Is that right? Your children, your teenagers. Be careful people that have that are in AA and people that have just drinking problems. There's a lot. The Bible says it offends anybody, it won't do it. And it's heavy, heavy stuff. And we have so much. We have simply orange juice. Why would anybody want to drink, you know? And it's something, it says, be not drunk with wine. And we need to understand that it is something that we got to realize that there are some things we got to take care of. We got to be empty. Put this up. We got to be emptied. And we have to have a glass that's emptied. I want you to look at this. I saw this. I found this. This is really cool. Is that cool or what? Do you know before God can fill you, you have to be empty? That's a heavy statement. This is empty. This is empty. If you will empty yourself of the flesh, God will fill you. Is that right? But it has to be empty. That's one thing we got to grasp that. And it is. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Ephesians 1 4. It is neat to catch this and realize you have so much from God. Chapter 1 of Ephesians. Ephesians starts out, the first three chapters tells all you have in Christ. And the last three chapters tells how to live it. And I just picked one verse from each of the chapters. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Say amen. Don't let the... When did God choose you to be one of His saved kids? Before Genesis 1:1, you're supposed to say, wow, that is amazing. I just love it. It doesn't make me proud at all. You know, I'm one of God's kids. No, it humbles me because He chose me while I was yet a sinner. And it should have just amazed you. It should humble you. And you realize, man, God wanted me. He chose me before the foundation of the world. Verse 4, chapter 1. That we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Wow. Chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. Forgiveness. Forgiven. And it's wonderful. It says, but God. Chapter 2, verse 4. But God who is rich in mercy, grace, forgiveness. For His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in what? Sins hath He quickened. What's the word quickened mean? Made alive. Brought you to life. You were dead. Hath quickened us together with Christ. In parenthesis, He's describing it. By grace, you're saved. Man, you said, I'm forgiven. I've been chosen. I've been forgiven. In chapter 3, verse 16, everybody look at it. I've been strengthened. Chapter 3, verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. How rich is God? You know, He owns everything. He's the Creator. Can He help you in your trouble? Does He have enough grace, enough mercy, enough peace, enough forgiveness to do everything you need? You can say yes. That's very important. And we'd realize, God, I feel lonely. I'll be with y'all. God, I feel depressed. I'll comfort you. Is that right? If you just let him, he will. He is rich. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And it is so good to realize that, to realize that he is doing that. We have strength. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And it's so important that we grasp that and realize, God, you are so good. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. It is so important. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17, and we're going to grasp what he's got here for us. It's amazing. We need to keep the glass empty. I want you to keep remembering the glass is empty, and I want you to catch that, to realize it's got. You have to empty your flesh before he can fill you with his Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Empty, filled. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And we grieve him when we do not empty our flesh. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Let's look at it. All of these have stopped walking this way. Stop doing this. Put this away. Don't sin. Ephesians 4, remember Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 tells you, you've got grace in God. It's wonderful. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6, now live it. Learn how to let it come out. Stop doing these things. Start doing these things. This morning I'm going through the stop part. Don't be drunk with wine, that part. Verse 17, this I say therefore, everybody with me, chapter 4, verse 17, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk, what? Not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. They're dying instead of living through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling. That means they have no sense of shame. Do we have a whole bunch of people in our culture that have no shame of doing wrong? No shame. Past feelings, that's the King James. They have no shame, no sense of shame. Having given themselves over to lasciviousness, all kinds of lustful pleasure, to do work, all uncleanliness with greediness, all impurities, all kinds of practical evils. Don't walk this way. Don't live like Gentiles, heathens, pagans, what the word means. Let's jump down to verse 22, chapter 4, verse 22. That ye put off the former conversation and the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. You got to put this off. It's an active thing. Don't do this. Don't get drunk with wine. Don't walk as the Gentiles. Put off this way of living, of lustfulness. Put it off, and you got to empty it. Okay, here, you got to empty it. Y'all feel bad here. Okay. You may do it. It's in verse. That was really good. 26. Let's look at verse 25. 25. Therefore, come on up. Therefore, I got a man doing a thing for me today. Verse 25, wherefore putting away all what? Lying. Okay. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. That verse, let me read it to you in the New Living. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Is that plain? You know, be angry and sin not. And don't let sin... Don't let anger control you. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Do you know when you get angry, you open up your whole life for the devil to walk in? Oh, is he walking in? In many, many, many areas. Verse 28, Let him that stole steal no more. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Get rid of all foul and abusive language. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well of all types of behavior. You got to empty it of that. I'm glad he didn't fill it. We're going to have a bathroom break at the end. Okay. As long as he keeps filling it, I'm going to keep drinking it. Chapter 5, verse 3. I'm in all of the don't do these things verses. Ephesians 5, verse 3, it says, but fornication and all cleanliness and covetousness. Everybody look at this verse. This is a great verse. Ephesians 5, verse 3. Let it not be named what? What's the next word? Once. Let all of this immorality and impurity and greed, let it not be named once among you as becoming saints. Put it away. Empty yourself of it. Neither foolishness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which is not convenient. The New Living says, obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Powerful there. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers of them. Those people are doing evil. Don't you be doing what they're doing. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. Verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Note verse 15 uses the word walk. Okay? It says, not as fools, not unwise, not drunks. Be that way. Don't let this debauchery dominate you, or any of these sins consume you or possess you or overcome you or control you or drive you or energize you or take your focus or compelling you, absorbing you, captivating you, engrossing you, empowering you. Does sin mess us up? Be filled with the Spirit. Be emptied of the flesh. Be emptied of the flesh. Got to get it emptied. That is good stuff. Chapter 5. It says, verse 5 on verse chapter 5, it keeps talking about husband and wife, verse 33, love and respect. Don't do anything negative there. Chapter 6, verse 4, it says, and fathers, what's next words? Provoke what? Not. See, there's the not. Provoke not your children. You know, you're there to obey and honor, and you're to love and respect, to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the discipline and instruction. Here we get to employees, chapter 6, verse 6. You know, not with eye servant as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You're to be a, should a Christian be a great employee? Should be a great employee. Employers is right here. Chapter 6, verse 9, employers. It says, ye and ye masters, do not do this, do the same things unto them, forbearing, treating, knowing that your master, God, also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Hey, you're going to give an account, and it's very important to do that. And you got to empty yourself. You got to empty yourself. And we got to empty ourselves of all these things. You want some? It is very important that we realize what God is doing here, and we got to continually do this. And so many times we forget that we need to be empty to be filled. Put the next slide up. Says, the more often and completely we empty our flesh, the more often and completely the Holy Spirit fills us. The more often, I want you to catch this. This is my main thought here. The often and the complete, okay? The more often you empty, the more complete you empty. Yeah, both of them. Yeah. He asked me if I wanted another drink. Thank you. You can leave the jug. No, you can take it. Are you ready for this? It just dawned upon me in my study of this that you can't be filled with the Spirit and filled with the flesh at the same time. You've got to be completely empty of one or filled with the other. It's just not a little bit. Now, you can be in and out of the Spirit quickly. Do y'all know that? Have you figured that out? You can be in the Spirit and joy is in your soul and something happens and you get mad just like that, right? Boom! And then you can say, I'm not going to go there. And you can get back into the Spirit. You should be getting into the Spirit often because your flesh is weak and your flesh is so there and it's rising and our world is messed up. And with all the media today and with all the news you hear, do you get mad about half time? You know, as I tell my ladies in my Wednesday, Thursday morning Bible study, it'd be better to watch Barney Fife than to watch the news media, you know. Yeah. I'm determined that I'm going to live in the Spirit. In this series, I just finished the series. I just wrote out the whole year, all the way up to October, what I'm preaching. Do you know if we put on the armor of God every day, the devil can't touch us? He can't touch us. He can't touch us. If you don't have the armor on, you're going to live a mess of a Christian life. Because your flesh is still there. And the only way you can empty the flesh is put the armor on. That's chapter 6 of Ephesians. And we need to realize it's my job to notice all this flesh stuff. And it comes at me all day long, does it? It comes at me. And we're talking about this on Wednesday. If you're not coming on Wednesday night, you've got to be here on Wednesday night. This Wednesday is going to be powerful. It's changing my life, and it's changing a lot of lives of our people. And we got to realize that I got to get this, and I can't just play games with this. If I'm going to be full of the Spirit, I got to be empty of the flesh. I got to have it empty to be filled. I got to have it filled with good stuff. I was going to have one of them full of coffee. I hate coffee. Okay. I love the smell of it. It smells good. But coffee. I was going to fill it up with coffee, and you couldn't get me to drink coffee if you... I want you to know, you got to have it emptied to be filled. And your life, your decision making, your choices, your attitudes, your reactions, is that right? Are either in the flesh or in the Spirit. And he says the first thing you got is don't get in the flesh. Don't. Put it off. Don't walk that way. And we've gone through all of these things from work to home to raising kids to marriage to just activities with one another and our attitudes and our morality and everything, our speech or everything. And you got to say, God, help me. Wouldn't it be great that you would live so sensitive that every time you were in the flesh, you noticed it and you'd emptied it real quickly so the Lord would fill you? You're talking to somebody and you're being irritated and you realize the flesh is rising and you just realize it. You identify it. You say to yourself that that's flesh and I'm not going to react that way. And you just pass that out of your mind and you get filled with the Spirit and you don't lose your temper. Now that's what we're talking about on Wednesday night. The details of how to do that. That's living in the Spirit, to be in the Spirit. That doesn't mean that, when something's wrong, it's wrong. When they say that kids should live in immorality or drugs or abortion or all that, that's wrong. When they're going to start teaching my kids to be men and the girls be men and the men be ladies, no. No. But I can still be in the Spirit when I'm spitting out stuff at people. It's truth. Is that right? Speak the truth in what? No. I got to speak the truth. And I want to live in the Spirit. The first thing I got to live in the Spirit is to know that I got empty of the flesh. I got to be empty of the flesh. Let's all turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 29. This is a description of a drunken person. The verses 29 to 35 is a description of a drunken person. And now this person is messed up in the wicked area. The Lord is telling us to be totally controlled and obsessed and dominated by the Spirit. So it's going to be unlike our natural flesh in the God area. Just as this is going to be so bad, we are supposed to be, boy, do you know Mike? Mike. He doesn't remember names. I just love it. And when somebody comes up to me and a name pops in my head, I know it's of God. You know, I have some weaknesses where being organized and remembering things. You can talk to my secretaries, you can talk to my wife. I drive her crazy. Normally, I can't do that. It's wonderful when God lets me to remember it. And y'all don't understand, if I remember your anniversary, it's wonderful. I'm sitting there going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if you remember to do something that you planned to do and you did it, it's exciting. And I hope you understand your weaknesses, your character, personality weaknesses, when you rise above in those areas. It's the Lord. Woo! And you say, thank you. Self-control. As I said publicly Wednesday night, I'm on a diet. Now, y'all hold me to it. And I've done well. But if I do this, it's of the Lord. Because I'd just rather go home and have some chocolate. Huh? And a lot of it. And especially with peanut butter. Let's go. You know. But I got to say no. Is that right? No. And I got to say no to my lust. I got to say no to my pride. I got to say no to my greed. I got to say no to my materialism. I got to say, is that right? I got to say no to these things. And I want you to know, the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, you got the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to have victory. Amen. You have all you need. Now, we got to empty ourselves of the flesh and be filled with the Spirit. And here's a description of a drunken man. Let's look at it. Proverbs 23, verse 29. I hope you're there. Woe! Who hath woe? Anguish, torment, distress. Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Always fighting conflict. Who hath babbling? Always complaining. Who hath wounds without cause? Unnecessary bruises. Who hath redness of eyes? Bloodshot. Verse 30. They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine, liquor, more, heavier. Look not thou upon wine when it is red, when it giveth its color, when it sparkles in the cup, when it moves itself aright, when it's smooth going down. Do you know it says, look not? Is that pretty plain? I don't know what that does to you. It says, look not when it's fermenting. Look not. Verse 32. At the last it biteth like an serpent, a poisonous snake, and stingeth like an adder, a very small viper. This is your goals and your dreams and your joys. That's where you get. That man, he can't live without it. Is that right? That's his goal every night. I got to have it. And I'm only happy if I have my drinking. And it just consumes him. Okay? God wants us to be consumed by God. Get all of our happiness. Get all of our joy. Get all of our pleasure. Get all of our dreams, our goals from God. And not from liquor. Verse 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. There'll be hallucinations. He'll see wrong things. When you're filled with the Spirit, you'll see right things. Is that right? He's seeing wrong things. And thine heart shall utter perverse things, untrue things, twisted things. You'll talk. When you're drunk, your speech is everywhere. Everywhere. And when you're filled with the Spirit, it's not your natural speech, it's God through you. He wants you to be consumed. Your joys, your goals, your dreams, what you see, how you talk. Verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea. He's going to drown, isn't he? Okay? They don't care. Their brain's gone. They're drunk. And it says, laying down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth on the top of a mast. Mast. Can you picture that? A drunk, he'll just climb up on there and just lay on top and he'll fall down, is that right, and die? You know, he don't care. And it's taken all of his emotions, his feelings, you know, disaster, he has no fear. Verse 35, they have stricken me, shall thou say, and I was not sick. You know, they hit me, but I don't feel it. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. I didn't even know when they beat me. When I awake, this is terrible, I will seek it again. It's their passion, their love. Drinking is their goals, their joy. It's what they see wild stuff. They talk wild stuff. Their emotions and feelings are all over the place. Their passions and loves are all messed up. I read that for you to realize that God wants you to be totally obsessed and possessed and controlled by the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Spirit. And he says you got to be empty to be filled. I want you to know I'm not going to drink these two, okay? Make you feel better. If you want to drink them at the end, and I only drunk out of this one, you can drink out of this one. You have to be empty to be filled. And he gave the greatest illustration of be not drunk with wine, which will ruin your life, but be filled with the Spirit, which will bless your life. And you have to be empty to be filled. If you're not going to work at putting these things off, not walking this way, not living this way, you're never going to be filled with the Spirit, because your flesh is normal and wretched, and it's almost first response. And I got to say, no, Lord, I'm not going to live that way. I don't have to do that. That's our lesson on Wednesday night. I don't have to sin. I don't have to eat that second helping. I don't have to get mad at that person. I don't have to worry. Is that right? I don't. I don't have to lust. God help me. God help me. And we have to empty ourselves of the flesh to be filled with the Spirit. And it's wonderful to do that. And this is the more often and completely we empty our flesh, the more often and completely the Holy Spirit fills us. I want you to get that in your head. Be empty to be filled. And it just dawned upon me when I was doing this illustration, thinking it through, that you have to be completely emptied of the flesh to be filled with the Spirit. So you got to be fighting that anxiety rolls in your life, and that worry rises, or that lust rises, and you got to say no to that and yes to the Spirit. One has to be out and the other has to be in. You're not just half and half, or, you know, I could drink a little bit of it. Nope. The Bible says in Galatians that you're either in the Spirit or in the flesh. Now, I think you can go back and forth pretty quickly. But you got to notice it. I don't think we notice it enough. Teenagers, I don't think you notice it too much. There's so much flesh going around being perpetrated by all media, by all the things going on in our world. We're just so fleshly, and all of a sudden we start talking about it and we think it's spiritual. We've redefined worship today, and it's entertainment. We think we feel good. No, there should be some holiness going on, and that is something. You have to be emptied to be filled. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to think about this. Next week, we're going to have some victory statements. I want you to think of the sins that you have gotten victory over through the years. What you used to do, even before you were saved. Some of the sins that you did that you don't do now. I think you should have a party. I think you should line them up and just rejoice. Are there some issues that you know, your attitude, your temper, the words you say, the hatred, the area of lust, the area of jealousy and anger, and the area of all kinds of envy and pride? Where are you? Got to empty some things. Got to be empty, the fit be filled. If you empty your flesh, the Holy Spirit will fill it, and you'll feel joy and peace and wonderful, wonderful. Where are you this morning? Huh? I trust this moves you. Preacher, I needed this message this morning. Raise your hand. Preacher, I need this message this morning. I need this message. I need this message. Get serious about the flesh, identifying it, noting it, repenting of it, refusing it, and then watch the Spirit come in with right attitude and right words, right actions, right reactions. Be filled with Spirit. In our song we're singing, Just As I Am, it has a line there that it just says, I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I trust that really grabs you. Be emptied, empty of the flesh. Be filled with the Spirit. Lord Jesus, move in our midst. Help us to experience this victory. And as we think it through the week, help us to rejoice in it and celebrate it next Sunday. Lord, just bless, help each of us to know what it means to be emptied, to be filled. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.